And it was December, I believe it was, and that's when we had some extraordinarily cold weather, even for December. And I forgot and left this violin in my car overnight. And these things are super sensitive to changes in the weather. And I got back here the next night, got up to play, and it sounded worse than a cat gone crazy, I'm telling you. And I had to put it down, and I didn't play it the next night. And Brother Rutledge said, "Thank God." So I'm the only preacher in Pentecost that can open up a violin case, and the congregation, praise God, let him take a machine gun out. But it's such a joy to come and visit my brother and sister Rutledge and this church. I've always enjoyed myself every time I have come here. And I mean that sincerely. And I found out about your anniversary celebration just purely by accident. I was preaching a revival in Magnolia, and they had a minister's meeting Saturday at noon, and I attended that, and Brother Warbington was there, and he said he was coming by on Saturday night to be in your anniversary service, and it was going to be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I said, "Well, I'll be able to make it." And so I'm glad I was able to be here Monday night to help you folks commemorate 25 years of leadership under your fine pastor at this particular pastorate. And I know you've been here in Pine Bluff longer than that, but nevertheless, it's good to be here. And it was good to be here with you Monday night, and good to be back again tonight. And I feel right at home. And that is another thing that I like about this church, and I say this honestly. I'm not just wasting time tonight, but I walk in here, I feel right at home. You know, there's some places you go to, you feel at home, you leave for a while, and then when you come back, it's just like you just walked outside and stepped back in. I mean, the same spirit is there. The same welcome is there. And I feel that way every time I come here. Praise the Lord. It's good to have my wife with me. She works and I travel. And first few meetings I preached, I got to looking back in the congregation. I said, "Something is missing." And then it dawned on me. I'm always used to seeing my wife sit over on my left, smiling from ear to ear. And and her smile wasn't there. But it's good to have her here tonight.
Amen.
And so let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Over the next hill.
feel safe and sane. Over the next hill we'll be home. It's a straight and narrow pathway, no detours and no byways. Over the next hill we'll be home. By the prophets I've been hearing, I would say the end is nearing, for I see familiar landmarks all along. By the dreams that I've been dreaming, there will be a great redeeming, and over the next hill we'll be home. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God. You know who wrote that song, Brother Reynolds? No, Johnny Cash. He must have wrote that when he got out of the rehab center. But he hit the nail on the head when he wrote that one. Let's love the Lord again. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you. love the Lord today.
You know, he came in tonight and he called me Matlock. It took me a while to sweat that one out, you know, but God bless you.
Praise God. Buy you a different suit. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I feel good in my soul tonight. Glory. Let's clap our hands and worship. Praise God, praise God. At Magnolia last week, there was a young lady. She was a Catholic. And she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know, when somebody gets the Holy Ghost, they'll hug anybody. And I was up on the platform. Brother Dykus was standing not too far from me. And she got so happy, she just sailed up from that altar, come up there and grabbed me and gave me a big old hug. I hadn't even told my wife about this yet. And she grabbed Brother Dykus and hugged him too. So, but it was just the sheer love of God. You could just see the radiance on her face, the change in her life. A man got the Holy Ghost one time in a revival, and his wife had been in the church for a while, and she played an accordion. And she'd been praying for him for years. And finally he came out to church, and he got the Holy Ghost, and he got so drunk on the power of God that after church he was taking her accordion out to the car, and he unlocked the trunk, and he climbed in the trunk and pulled the trunk down on it and left the accordion on the ground. His wife hadn't had an extra set of keys. He'd just been in there, you know. The glory is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I tell you, I wouldn't mind acting a little bit beside myself tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. You know, David danced before the Lord, and he was what they call a buffoon. You know what a buffoon is? Have you ever heard that expression? The old kings used to have a buffoon. And whenever the king would come into the city, well, the buffoons, they would get out and they would cut all kind of cartwheels and they would dance up and down and act so silly and foolish just to get the attention of the people and tell them that the king was coming.
Oh, I see.
But David was a buffoon for the Lord. He danced before the Lord. He was letting everybody know that the Ark of God was coming into town. And so he was a buffoon for the Lord. The king let everybody know that he wasn't too proud to humble himself and become a buffoon. And let everybody know that the Lord was coming to town. And I feel kind of like a buffoon tonight. I want to dance a little jig. If I did what I feel like doing tonight, I don't know if I'd even get to read a text. But I feel like the king has come to this place tonight. Praise God. If I get to acting like a buffoon tonight, it's because the king is here. And I want to announce his presence. If you haven't felt the presence of the king yet, well, let me tell you something. The king is here. Oh, the king is here. The king is here. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. I know you've had three wonderful days of celebration, anniversary service, but I feel like the spirit of that can continue on tonight. And then Saturday night when Brother Sam is here, and then when this brother from Germany comes, it can just keep splashing on over. But what do you say? Let's don't let the link in the chain break tonight. Let's don't get a kink in the chain. Praise God. I knew what I was going to preach. And Brother Rutledge asked me just as I was leaving Monday night to come be here tonight. And God spoke to my heart then and there. And I like it when it's that way. I have had to wrestle with God in prayer and not know what I was going to preach. And nobody else knew either when I got through. But tonight I know where to start. And I hope I know when to quit. But let me read to you the last five songs. The first phrase and the last phrase of each psalm begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." God usually confirms what he wants a preacher to preach somehow in the service. I had a search for a little confirmation throughout the service by a song that somebody sings, about testimony that somebody gives, or by something that's said in the service to confirm that you have the message. And my wife testified tonight. I didn't know that she was going to say what she said about the presence of God inhabiting the praises of his people. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight about praise. But I want to read, beginning at Psalm 146, in verse 1, just the very first phrase. It says, "Praise ye the Lord." And in the last verse, verse 10, the last phrase reads, "Praise ye the Lord." It begins and it ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 147, verse 1, the very first phrase, "Praise ye the Lord." And in verse 20, the last verse and the last phrase, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 148, verse 1 begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." Verse 14 ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 149, verse 1 begins, "Praise ye the Lord." And verse 9, the last verse, ends, "Praise ye the Lord." Amen. And in the very last song, verse 1 begins, "Praise ye the Lord."
Lord, Lord.
And in the last verse of the last song, it ends, "Praise ye the Lord."
Amen.
The last five psalms begin with, "Praise ye the Lord." And they end with, "Praise ye the Lord." And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, the value of praise. The value of praise. Let's pray one more time. Thank the Lord.
Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
The value of praise. What is the value of praise in your life? There are six letters in the word praise. P
R-A-I-S-E. I'm going to use each letter in the Word tonight and evaluate or place a value upon praise. Now, the first letter in the Word is P. And P stands for pleases. Praise pleases God. Preaching pleases God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 reads, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I have done many things in my past life that I am ashamed of. I have done many things that have grieved the Spirit of God, that have offended His holiness.
Amen.
But if I have never done one thing in my entire life that has pleased God, I am pleasing God right now, this very moment, because preaching pleases God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Peter denied his Lord three times. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he said to his disciples, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. And Simon Peter spoke up and said, Lord, though all men be offended because of thee, I will never forsake thee. And Jesus said, Simon, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. They left the upper room. They went to Gethsemane. And after Jesus had prayed, Judas came with the soldiers, and he placed the kiss of betrayal upon our Lord's cheek. And the soldiers apprehended Jesus, and Simon Peter drew his sword and he sliced off one of the soldiers' ears. Now, and Jesus said, put up your sword, Simon. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Could not I have called 10,000 angels? He reached down and picked up the man's ear and stuck it back on his head just like you plug a cork in a bottle. I imagine that soldier had mixed emotions about the next mission that he went on. But Peter followed the Lord afar off. The other disciples forsook him and fled. They scattered in all directions. But Peter followed him afar off. And while they were trying Jesus before the Sanhedrin in the high priest's palace, Peter was warming his hands by the fire. And one of the handmaidens came out and said, you were one of his disciples. And he denied it. And then a second time she came out and she said, you were with him. And once again, he denied it. And the third time, she came by and said, you were one of his disciples. And he cursed, and he denied it with an oath. And immediately, the cock crowed, and Peter went out, and he wept. He had denied his Lord. He had displeased his God. He had grieved his Lord. But in the upper room, he assembled with 120 disciples, and they began to pray and seek God. And the Holy Ghost swept through the upper room like a rushing mighty wind and filled all those that were sitting there. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. There were Jews gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And when they congregated together to see the strange thing that happened, Peter stood up. He had denied his Lord 3 times. He had grieved his Lord. But oh, he pleased God on that day when he took his text from the 2nd chapter of the book of Joel and he began to preach the first apostolic sermon. He pleased God that day, for the Spirit of God fell and 3,000 more were added to the church. Yes, preaching pleases God. And if I have not pleased God this entire day, I am pleasing Him right now because I am doing something. I am performing a service that is near and dear to our Lord's heart. I am preaching the gospel, and preaching pleases God. Peter went down to the household of Cornelius in the city of Caesarea, and while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them that heard the word. Preaching pleases God. But not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody can come up here and stand behind the pulpit and read a text and preach and please God in that manner. But you do not have to be a preacher to please God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it reads, "By Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." And the 16th verse goes on to say, "For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." God is pleased with the sacrifice of praise. Praise pleases God. If you have come to this service tonight feeling guilty because you have done something that you feel like you shouldn't have done, if you've come to this service tonight feeling just a little bit low and heavy-hearted, well, let me inform you, you can please God before you leave this place tonight. And you don't have to be a preacher to please God. You can praise God, and praise pleases God. Oh, let me tell you something. If I knew that praise pleased my God, no preacher would have to stand behind a pulpit and beg me to praise God. But my hands would go up spontaneously, and you would hear my shouts of praise ringing all over the church. If you haven't pleased God this entire day, you can please God tonight. Because praise pleases God. It pleases Him. If you haven't pleased Him at all today, don't go home tonight without pleasing God. Don't go home. Don't let your eyes close and rest tonight without pleasing your God at least one time. And every time you praise Him, you please Him. Amen. The lifting up of our hands is like the evening sacrifice. And our voices and our songs of praise are like sweet-smelling incense in the nostrils of God. Praise pleases God. If I were to place a value upon praise in your life, I would not have to go any further than that to satisfy my mind that praise is valuable in my life, because I can please God by preaching and I can please God by praising His name. You can please Him tonight. You can please Him tonight by lifting your pleases God. The second letter in the word praise is R. R stands for release. Praise releases faith. It releases faith. Everyone has a measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, it says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, He gave you a measure of faith that would see you through all the way to the finish line. When God baptized your soul with the Holy Ghost, He gave you a measure of faith that would take you all the way through to victory. It releases faith. That faith is bound up inside us like a dormant volcano. And it yearns to be released. And one way that you can release that faith that is bound up in your heart is to praise God. To praise Him. Psalms 106 and verse 12 reads, then believed they His words. Amen. They sang His praise.
That's right.
If you read the background of this verse, you will discover that it has reference to the song of victory, the song of praise that Miriam and the children of Israel sang after they had safely crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies had been defeated. Moses led 3 million Hebrew slaves out of bondage in Egypt. They approached the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was pursuing them from the rear. There were mountains on the left and on the right. And they began to murmur and to complain, would to God that we had stayed in Egypt. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he stretched his rod over the waters of the sea, and the waters began to separate to the left and to the right, and they rolled back. And the children of Israel marched across on dry land. And when Pharaoh and his army tried to follow suit, then the waters returned and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the water.
Amen.
And they began to sing a song of victory. I repeat Psalm 106 and verse 12. Then believed they His words.
Yes.
They sang His praise. Let me stress the word then.
Yes.
Now, they praised God after the victory had came.
Right.
They praised God after the waters had been separated.
Right.
They sang His praises after Pharaoh's army had been defeated. They sang His praises after the victory had come. But it really doesn't matter whether you praise God after the victory or before the victory. Praise will release your faith. It will release your faith. You have faith bound up inside your heart that is longing and yearning to escape, to get out. And one way that faith can escape to be released is for you to praise God. And when you begin to praise and worship Him, your faith is released and you begin to believe God for your prayers to be answered, for your body to be healed. You begin to believe God for souls to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise releases faith. Paul and Silas were locked inside the inner ward of the Philippian jail. Their backs had been beaten with many stripes. They were locked. fingers and toes wiggling in front of them. And they began to sing his praises before the victory came. They began to sing praises unto God before the earthquake came and shook the jailhouse down. And their praises released their faith. And they believed God. And God sent an earthquake and shook that jailhouse down.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Made the old jailhouse rock. Amen. Elvis Presley thought he had the doves on that song.
Uh-huh.
The jailhouse rock.
Yes.
Somebody said the reason he wiggled so much because he dropped his cigarette in his shoe and he tried to put it out. But Paul and Silas made the old jailhouse rock long before Elvis Presley ever made it rock. And they made it rock with the praises of God. There's something about praise that releases faith. The children of Israel sang his praises after the battle had been fought, after the victory had been won, and their faith was released. Paul and Silas sang their songs of praise before the battle had been fought, before the victory had been won, and it released their faith.
Hallelujah.
Praise releases faith. The value of praise. The third letter in the word praise is assures. Or rather, A. This stands for assures. And faith, or rather praise, assures hope. It assures hope. Let me read to you in Psalms 42 in verse 5. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. Praise assures hope. We have the greatest hope. We have the brightest hope of any religious group upon the face of God's green earth. We have the hope that someday soon Jesus will appear in the clouds in the east and he will shout with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised first and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is our hope.
Hallelujah.
And that hope is bright and beautiful. But sometimes the cares of life begin to smother that hope.
You're right.
Sometimes the burdens and the sorrows and the trials and the valleys that we walk through causes that hope to grow dim.
Amen.
And we lose our hope. We lose confidence in our hope. But every time we come to the house of God and we begin to praise our God, it assures our hope all over again. We know once again that our Lord is coming back. We know once again that Jesus is coming back for his church because there is something about praise that assures us of that hope. You let the church have a good worship service. You let everybody begin to praise and worship God. And the next thing you know, we're going to be thinking about our hope all over again. We're going to lose sight of the things that are in this world. And we're going to catch a glimpse of that bright hope once again. And praise does that. It assures hope. Rudyard Kipling was a famous poet and author who lived near the turn of the century. And he was considered to be a master of the English language. He was given a lecture to a group of poets and writers. And he said in the course of his lecture that there are only two words in the English language that start with S-U and are pronounced S-U. And a lady stood up in the crowd and she said, "Mr. Kipling, you're wrong. There is only one word in the English language that starts with S-U and is pronounced S-H, and that's sugar." And Mr. Kipling smiled. He said, "And I might ask you the same question tonight. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure of your hope? Are you sure of your hope?" In 1 Peter chapter 3 it says, "Since our, where is the hope of His coming, or the promise of His coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were since the beginning of creation." But listen, you may have lost sight of your hope. And the rapture sounds just like a myth or a fairy tale. It sounds almost like Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that's just about the way it stacks up in the mind of some Pentecostal people. We have lost our hope. It is no longer bright. It no longer glows. It is no longer the epitome. It is no longer the zenith of our religious experience. The rapture, the coming of the Lord. That's what the ball game is all about, folks.
Yeah. Amen.
And if we don't make it, we've lost the ball game.
My God.
But praise assures us of that hope. We begin to praise our God in spite of the difficulties that we're having in our lives. In spite of the circumstances that surround you, you begin to praise your God, and the next thing you know, you'll be singing, "We'll be caught up to meet Him in the air." Hallelujah. And that hope will be bright once again. Praise assures hope. The next letter in the word praise is I. And I stands for increases. And praise increases love. It increases love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 reads, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost."
Hallelujah.
We begin to praise God. The Holy Ghost falls in our midst. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And that fellow that sits across the aisle from you that you have so much trouble getting along with, once you begin to praise God and the Holy Ghost begins to fall, the love of God is increased in your heart and you think he's a wonderful fellow. I said, Sunday night after church, I said, I left Magnolia and I was driving back to Little Rock. And on Highway 19, about 45 miles from Magnolia to the interstate, and I got behind this fella that was driving so slow, I thought for a minute I had pulled up into a parking lot. But he was driving so slow. And I was in a hurry to get home. And he would drift over across the middle lane every now and then. And I was afraid to pass him. But I was driving close. And I was getting more aggravated by the minute. I hadn't got to the place yet where I was ready to bite the steering wheel. But I thought, my, I wish you'd just hurry up and get on down the road or just pull off and let me get by. He can drive faster than that even out here on this road. And finally, I got up closer, and I looked, and I saw a bumper. But you know, there's something about praising God that increases the love of God in your heart. If I could read a little old dinky bumper sticker, and it changed the way that I felt about that man that was driving in front of me. Just what if the Holy Ghost had fell and blessed me there? Man, I'd have run him down, hugged his neck, and kissed him. There's something about praise that brings the presence of God down in our midst. And when the Holy Ghost comes down in our midst, it sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. You let us Pentecostals have a real good service. You let us tie one on. You let us really have one. And we hang around and we hang around and we get that old lingering spirit, I call it. I mean, we see one another all the time. Two or three times a week, see one another downtown, on the job, what have you. But there's something about it when the Holy Ghost comes down and it gets the love of God abroad in our hearts. We just want to stay and stay and stay and stay. We just love everybody. We fall in love all over again. Amen. Praise does that.
Right.
It increases love. And the next letter is S. It stands for saves. Did you know praise saves souls?
Yes.
It saves souls. And you can go to any church in town and hear a sermon. And you can hear some pretty good ones. They know the Greek. They know the Hebrew. And a little English, yeah. You'd think they didn't know any. Big words they use. But you can hear a good message. But you can't go anywhere and feel what we feel here tonight. But we begin to praise God. In an atmosphere of praise, people are saved. They're born again. 36 years ago, I walked into a Pentecostal church on a Saturday night. For the first time in my life, I had ever been in one, and they were praising God. They had been in a 6-week revival, and I want you to know they were on cloud nine. And I sat down on the last pew. I had been there less than 5 minutes, and I knew there was something real about it. Big tears began to run down my cheeks. Before the preacher even had an opportunity to read his text and preach. Oh, I remember what he preached on. He preached on 7 ducks in a muddy river. There was a woman sitting in front of me. She jumped to her feet. Me walking through the front door must have been the signal to start, because she jumped up, raised her hands, began to speak in tongues. Cold chills went up and down my spine. And across the aisle, there was a lady sitting, and she had a little baby on her lap. It must have been 18 months old, or maybe 2 years of age. And that baby was familiar with mama's habits. When mama came to church, I saw that baby look up at her mama, and she jumped out of her mama's lap, and mama jumped up, and she shouted out in the middle aisle. Her hair fell down. It began to pop like a whip. And then what clinched it? The lady that taught me English in high school stood up and started speaking in a language that wasn't English. I said, these folks are not ignoramuses. They got a college education. They're intelligent. But you see, there was something about the worship. People have been saved in a good, healthy worship service. There's something about worship that just sets the atmosphere. And let me hurry on. The last letter in the word praise is E. This means endures. Praise endures forever. If you don't remember another thing I say tonight, I want you to remember this. It endures forever. Psalms 111 and verse 10, His praise endureth forever. The old Hebrew rabbis taught that there were two kinds of angels. They taught that there were angels that served, and they taught that there were angels that praised. And they taught that the angels that praise God, as soon as they praise God, they only praise God once. But as soon as they praise God, when that praise died out in the air, they faded out and disappeared. And that's what they taught. But the Bible says that praise endureth forever. Now let me stack this on you in closing tonight. I begin to meditate upon that verse of Scripture and just think about it. Did you know that every time that you have ever praised God, it's still raining in God's ears? Did you know, Brother Rutledge, that every word of praise that has ever been uttered in this church is still ringing, echoing, resounding in God? 25 years of praise in the Apostolic Church. That's a lot of praise. And God remembers the first word of praise that was ever uttered when this group became an official congregation.
Hallelujah.
It endures forever. And when you praise God, you are building a memorial.
Amen.
Cornelius built a memorial with his prayers. Prayers never die.
Hallelujah.
They just ring on and on and on and on. Praise never dies. The first time I ever said, "Thank you, Jesus," and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, did you know that first "thank you, Jesus" 36 years ago is still ringing in the ears of God tonight? It endures forever.
Hallelujah.
It endures forever.
Hallelujah.
I was praying this afternoon. I said, "God, I'd like to do something for you. I'd like to do a work for you before I leave this world. I'd like to do something lasting." And then God began to impress my heart. Just praise me. Every time you praise me, you're doing something that's lasting. Every time you praise me, you are doing something that's going to last forever. You're building a memorial in heaven. Listen, every word of praise that you have ever let come through your lips is still on record in heaven. It endures forever. We build a memorial with our praise. And brother, that makes me
want to praise God with all of my heart every time I come to the house of God. What do you say? Let's stand to our feet and let's build a little memorial right now. I want you to think of the most wonderful words of praise that you can utter. And just lift those words up toward God tonight. They're going to be put on record in heaven. They're going to endure forever. Oh, God. Church.
Give it glory, all you people, for his blessings are your way.
I will praise him. I will praise him.
Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give it glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, I will praise him. I will praise him. We'll praise the Lamb for sinners slain. We'll give him honor, all you people. For his broken heart, you praise him. That's what we're doing when we're praising him. We're giving him honor. We're counting him worthy. We're praising him from our heart, the one who loved us, came, lived, died, arose, ascended, and sent forth his spirit into our lives. Let's gather around the altar and praise and magnify the Lord. If you need something from God, this is a good time to get it. Just loving and praising him together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the daytime.